Good morning, and thank you for being here on another gorgeous day. We're so thankful for the good health we all have. Our brother Bill is out. We hope he'll be back with us Sunday. And we're just very fortunate that not many of us have real bad sicknesses. I'd like to begin this morning with a confession, then ask you if you've ever done the same thing. There have been times when I've been sitting in a pew, listening to a gospel preacher deliver a sermon, and have thought, boy, I sure hope so-and-so is listening to this sermon. He or she really needs to hear this. And I've sat there thinking, yep, that's right, you tell them. And frankly, sometimes I wasn't even that specific in my thinking. Instead, I thought of they. They sure need to hear this. Have you ever done that? I'm sure that some of us have, because God saw fit to warn us about this very kind of reaction to His Word. If you would turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. While you're turning, you remember the case of David after his adultery with Bathsheba and his ordering the death of her husband Uriah? Nathan the prophet came to David in 2 Samuel 12 and told him the story of a rich man with many flocks and herds, and a poor man who had nothing except one little ewe lamb. He loved that lamb and he treated it as one of his family. He held it to his bosom, and it was to him like a daughter. One day a traveler came to visit the rich man, and he would not take of his own flocks to prepare a meal for him, but he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and fed his guest. But David was filled with righteous indignation, and he said in verse 5 and 6 of 2 Samuel 12, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had not pity." Nathan's response to David brings home the lesson that we need to first examine ourselves. He said to David in verse 7, look here, "Thou art the man." You're the man, he said. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I think of the Lord's sermon, His word on the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." The emphasis is clearly that the first person I need to be concerned about when it comes to God's Word is myself. I need to make personal applications of its principles before I do anything else. I think again of Paul's words in Romans 2 and verse 21. He says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?" Again, application begins at home. Come with me now, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now we're going to be focusing upon verses 22 through 25 for the remainder of our lesson this morning. James chapter 1 verse 22 states, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we look at the first phrase of the verse simply from a grammatical standpoint, it means keep on demonstrating yourselves to be doers of the word. The idea is that it is not enough to hear the word and to receive it. A person has to be obedient to it. Do you ever stop to think that God never blessed anyone in any age or dispensation of time simply for hearing the word or even simply believing it? Let me repeat that. God never blessed anybody in any age or dispensation of time for simply hearing the word and even for simply believing it. Think about it. God's blessings came when the individual's faith was exhibited in obedience and not before. It has never been enough to simply hear the word or for that matter to even believe it. It must be expressed in actions in life. It must be personally applied in order to bless and to save and to take care to notice who the action is required of. It is required of me. It is required of you. I must do what the word says personally. I must apply it first to myself. The doer of the word is contrasted with the hearer only. There are several ways that this problem can manifest itself. It can manifest itself in the way that I mentioned in the beginning. A person can attend services, sit and listen to the sermon being preached, and think about everybody else that it applies to. When a person does that, they're hearing the word but not translating it into their own lives. They can tell you how you can benefit from what is being preached, but not benefit themselves. Being a hearer only, brethren, being a hearer only can also be manifested by folks who attend services regularly. We have some here, as there are in practically every congregation. These are good people who come all the time. They sit and listen to the truth being preached, but who never profit by the word preached or translated into their own lives. There are those who evidently feel that hearing the word is sufficient and there is no obligation to apply it. But it's just not so. Again, Jesus warned us about this many times. In one place is in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. It's one of my favorite verses. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Listen now. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The point here, obedience. Obedience. In this same chapter, he urged us to build our houses upon a rock that would be able to withstand the floods and the winds of life. How did Jesus say the person went about doing this? By hearing the sayings of him and doing them. That's how. That's the idea again of personal application that manifests itself in action. James told us in verse 22 that the person who hears the word only and does not make personal application is deluding or deceiving themselves. The word that is translated as deceiving or deluding in this verse occurs only twice in the New Testament. The other time it appears in Colossians 2 and verse 4, where it is translated as beguile. It means to be led astray by unsound arguments. The idea then is that the person who sits and hears the word implies it to everybody else but himself, or the fellow who sits and hears and never obeys is basing their life, when you get right down to it, on unsound arguments. To think that just hearing the word, even if it is from week to week, is sufficient and never apply it is unsound thinking. It is deceiving or deluding ourselves. What good does it do me to be able to quote every verse in the New Testament if I don't practice it? What good does it do me to hear every word that comes out of the preacher's mouth and apply it to others instead of myself? If I can feel good while refusing to apply God's word personally, if I can be comfortable when I'm not obeying God's word, then I have tragically, tragically deceived myself. Now look at verses 23 and 24 of James 1. James wrote, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." If I hear and do not, or if you hear and do not, we're like the man that James describes here. That which we hear but don't personally apply and let take root in our hearts is soon forgotten. It's soon forgotten. The person who hears and does not is like the man who sees a reflection of his own face in a mirror. Now, we're not talking about just a quick glance or a careless glance in the mirror, maybe to look at your hair. We're not talking about those things. No, the word is beholding, which means to regard attentively, to take careful, to note of. So it is really like the person listening to this sermon but applying it to everybody else. He has to be paying attention to make that application. But then the person turns away from the mirror, and when he turns away from the mirror, he promptly forgets what he looks like. Lessons from the Word of God that are just listened to and not personally applied are quickly forgotten and have no more influence in our lives than a look in the mirror. How many times did I listen to a teacher in school just to be able to take the test? I've done it. I'm sure you did too. Once the test is taken, what'd you do? I've promptly forgotten everything I heard. They made no difference in my life, nor did I take them to heart. Why should I retain things that I don't apply to myself? Repeatedly, brethren, in the Word of God, we're exhorted to be careful not only about what we hear, but how we hear it. This is the very point of the wonderful parable of the sower. Now, we're not going to take the time to read the whole parable, but I do want us to look at our Lord's explanation of it in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. If you would come with me, please. Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. There we find, beginning in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root. For which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Here the various kinds of soil represent the different kinds of hearers. If we skip down to verse 18, we find Jesus saying these words. He says, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." Let's go back, if you would, to James chapter 3. Please understand, brethren, that those who present the word have a great responsibility, and believe me, as I'm doing right now, and believe me, I take it very, very, very serious. James even said in verse 1 of chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That's scary for a teacher. But at the same time, those who hear the word have a tremendous responsibility to personally apply it and to translate it into life. I went to church with a man for many years. He came to church every time the doors were open, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, anything we had. He was a good man. He had heard as many sermons as any Christian there, but he never made personal application. Anyway, he never became a child of God. He became very ill with a health problem. I went to see him in the hospital. And I tried to get him to obey the gospel before it was too late. But he refused. He even refused to listen to me. He died shortly thereafter with a heart attack, and it seemed such a tremendous waste in energy. He had heard and he heard and he heard and never applied. Well, he was making application then. He failed in his responsibility, and it was nobody else's fault, although I personally felt the frustration of it. He had not taken heed how he heard. Let's go back to James chapter 1, please. Look at verse 25. James 1 and verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Here then is the application of what James has been writing about. A man looks into a mirror and sees his reflection. Then he goes on his way, forgetting even what he saw. That's just like somebody who hears the word of God, but applies it to everybody but himself, or fails to apply it at all, and he soon forgets what he has heard and is unaffected by the word. On the other hand, the genuine listener, this is the one who is careful of not only what he hears, but he's careful how he hears. And you know what's interesting and helps us to understand this a little better? The word that is translated as looketh in James 1:25 is the same word that was used to describe the actions of John and Mary when they peered into the empty tomb on the morning of his resurrection. Remember how they got down, they looked down like that. They stooped down, they gazed intently. I don't think James could have gotten more vivid in detail. The genuine listener stoops down, so to speak, in order to get the closest possible look, because he or she is really and truly interested in that word of truth. And that word is called the perfect law of liberty. And oh, brethren, let me tell you, God's word for us today is called also the law of faith in Romans 3:27. It is called the law of spirit in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2. It is called the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2, and it is called the perfect law of liberty. It is called perfect because it is complete, it is full, and it is all sufficient to accomplish the purpose for which God designed it. It is called law because it is a rule of action. It is meant to govern and change our lives. And is referred to as liberty. Why? Because when we obey, we are set free from the bondage of sin and Satan and released from the spiritual death and made alive in Christ. That's what it is. But what if we went to a doctor and he gave us a prescription and we didn't take it? Or we immediately thought of someone else who could really use it. Is it not enough just to have the prescription? Is it? Is it just enough to have it? Well, it is not enough just to look and listen even intently to the perfect law of liberty and then fail to make personal application. Not only must we make personal application when we hear, we must continue therein. And brethren, that means it must never be far from us. It reminds me of the first chapter of Psalms. Let's go back there and look at that just real quickly, if you would. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 1. Remember how the book of Psalms begins? Verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Listen now, verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." His delight is what? It's in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? He meditates on it day and night. That's the idea of continuing therein, as James 1:25 says. So brethren, let us be certain that none of us prove to be hearers only. Before we try to make application of God's word to anybody else, let's apply it first to ourselves. Don't hear and hear and hear the word and never obey it. There are two kinds of people who have been contrasted by James this morning, and every single one of us here is one kind or the other. The one is the forgetful hearer. The other is the hearer who puts into practice what he or she has heard. Only the doer will be blessed. Let me repeat. Only the doer will be blessed. I can't stress that enough, brethren. You've heard me so many times. Obedience, obedience, obedience. So what kind are you, I ask? Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. John 13:17. So what are you going to do? So I asked you again. Are you a hearer only and not a doer? Are you one who just sits in the seat and says, they need this sermon? If so, come and let us pray with you and pray for you. And then become a working, faithful servant of the Lord. My friends, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have done all they intend to do. They're not going to do any more. There'll be no more revelations from God. His book is complete. He has given us his plan of salvation. Whether you like it, whether you believe it, whether you obey it or not, it will never, never change. His plan of salvation is so simple to understand and to obey. He says that you must hear the gospel. You must believe it. You must repent of your sins and confess before men that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. How simple that is. You have a choice right now to obey and become a Christian. Won't you do that as we stand and sing, remembering all the time? All of us have a choice. Heaven or hell. It's our choice. Please come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.